Thank you, ladies. You get your hymnals, there you go. Get your Bibles this morning. I trick you every now and then. We do some reading out of the hymnals sometimes. At least you're paying attention. Turn in your Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 17, verse 14. Matthew chapter 17, verse 14. Before long, we'll hopefully have our remind fixed up so I can send things out again. Remind me at the end of the service. I have an announcement on that that we'll talk about. But for right now, if you'll stand, please, when you get this. Matthew chapter 17, verse 14. It says, "And when they had come to the multitude, a man came to him, kneeling down to him and saying, 'Lord, have mercy on my son, for he's an epileptic. And suffers severely. For he often falls into the fire and often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him.' Then Jesus answered and said, 'O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me.' And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately, and said, 'Why could we not cast it out?' Jesus said to them, 'Because of your unbelief. For surely I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it'll move. And nothing will be impossible for you. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting.'" Let's pray. Lord, as always, thank you for your word. I just pray this morning that you help us by the guidance of your Holy Spirit, that you would bring the message. Let me just give it according to your word and according to your will, that we will understand it and that we will receive it in the way you will have us. So help us glorify you in this, Father, in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. You know, when you come into the church this morning, into the building that we congregate in, the church, the ecclesia, the body of Christ, when we come together, I was looking out. Sometimes I'll do that. I'll stop singing and I'll just look at you. And believe me, it's good thoughts. And I'll just look out there. And I was looking out this morning. If we come into this church building together and we look around at each other, those sitting beside you and those sitting around you, if we look at each other, those of us that belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, and even if you do not, you are a picture of God's grace. Somebody beside you, this whole church, we are all are a picture of God's grace. We know that we're not perfect. We know that we are sinners. We know that God is still working on us. There was a children's song, "God's Still Working on Me." Remember that? How true. He's building us up into a foundation to be like his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We all are a picture of grace. There is no one that should ever come into this church, and no one has that I know of. It's not why I'm bringing this up. But no one should ever come into this building and have the attitude, "I'm not good enough to be here. I'm not good enough to be in this congregation because there's saved people there and they know the Lord in this, and I'm not good enough." That should never be the case. We should always remind people of that. We all are, even at the foot of the cross, we all are a picture of God's grace. We are all sinners, saved by grace, amen, according to him. If you think of the first church, if we could be transported back in time and we could go to a meeting of one of the very first meetings of the church after Jesus' ascension, of the first church of the New Testament, and could sit into one of their church services, it would probably be quite different from what we have our services today. Excuse me. Wouldn't have the order that we have. Okay? Probably wouldn't have the order that we have. They did have order, but not like ours. They came into it. They brought food. That's why I know that they probably had a little bit of lineage to Baptists. They loved to eat. They brought food. Okay? They would come in and they congregated together as a body. It was a gathering that they came to. And they looked forward to it. And the Bible says they came into it, and one of the main things that they did is they read and listened to the reading of Scripture. It might go on for a long period of time. Then the Bible teaches us that the pastor or some teacher would get up and they would expound upon that, usually, the teaching that they had read in the Scripture. And then Paul goes on to explain to us, if there was somebody in the meeting, okay, that had a testimony of two, no more than two, because they didn't want to get it out of too much out of control. Why? Because the people then were so excited, there was probably testimonies everywhere, limited to two or three. They might stand up and give a testimony of what God was doing out in the public or in their life. Then if there was one or two that had a little prophecy going on, not prophecy as you think about it, but something that the Lord had given them, maybe in that scripture that they could add to it, no more than one or two, they were permitted to stand up and say that also. So I want you to think about this. These people that came were not listening to the reading of what we read this morning. They didn't have the New Testament yet. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Paul, the rest of them had not written their books yet. What were they reading? The scripture of the Old Testament. And how were they hearing it? They came from a religion of works. Not God intended it that way, but that's the way they had come into it, because the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes had turned it into that. They had come from a religion where they thought they had to do something to be good enough. Now they were sitting in a church service where they were hearing the same scriptures read, and guess what they were doing? You do the same thing. They were trying to pick out, because this was new to them, they were trying to pick out in the Old Testament, where is it talking about Jesus, my Savior? They'd never done that before. How do we know that to be true? Because Jesus said on the road to Emmaus, he expounded to them everything in the Old Testament that was all about him. You know they were doing that. They were sitting there thinking, okay, we're going to hear the teaching, but where is this talking about Jesus? Sometimes they were probably getting it wrong. Sometimes they were probably getting it right. But the teacher would get up and teach through the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And he would point to them in the Old Testament, this is talking about Jesus. And they'd never seen it before. They never heard it before. Can you imagine what their hearts were in that early church seeing that? This is what I was raised in. This is what I was taught. And now I'm seeing it in a little different way. I'm seeing the Lord Jesus Christ, my Savior, in the teaching of the Scripture. What an amazing thing that should probably was and should have been. And the church expounded from that. Well, what we're seeing here today with the Lord Jesus here is before all of that. What's he doing? We saw it last Sunday. He is preparing the disciples, the soon-to-be apostles, that they could be the foundation to teach the church like that. There's a few things that had to happen in their life before he could get them there. Now, I'm going to go back a couple of Sundays. I mentioned it Wednesday night, but I'm going to mention it again because it is the foundation of the church. What Jesus taught them then, from that point forward, it says, as he went to the church, this was his teaching of the disciple that follows me. What was it? Deny, pick up, or take up, and follow. That's the mantra of the church. It's our mantra today. It's the mantra of the church from that time forward. A disciple of Christ has to be able to deny himself, number one, remember? Second, take up your cross and then follow me. That's the teaching. If you take that mantra when you read the Old New Testament, or even the Old Testament, have that in front of you when you're reading it, if in your desk, wherever. If you take that and that is your basis for understanding Scripture, you can't go wrong. Read every bit of the scripture with that mantra as a Christian. I need to deny myself, take up my cross, and follow Jesus. And you'll have the whole basis of it. Yes, there's some other teachings under there. That's the whole basis of scripture right there. So Jesus has come down from the mountain. He said, Peter, James, and John with him on the mountain. And last Sunday we saw where he was transformed. Formed, in other words, and his glory shone forth for those three because they were going to have that. They were going to need that in the future to be the foundation of the church along with the other disciples. He showed them who he was for a reason, to help build their faith. But there were still some things that had to happen to them for them to completely get there. We know that because we know the end of the story. We know what Peter's going to go through in not too long a time, and the other disciples are going to go through in not too long a time. So here's Jesus. He comes down the mountain with these three. Kind of reminds you of Moses coming down the mountain with the Ten Commandments with Joshua into the camp. And he comes down the mountain, and he already knows what's going on. And here are his disciples at the foot of the mountain here with the scribes and a crowd that's gathered around. And they're arguing with the disciples. And it looks like the disciples are kind of arguing back and defending themselves. Because the scribes are always looking in how they can entrap Jesus. And if they can use his disciples to do it, they will do it in that way. And we read what had happened here. These disciples that had been sent forth from Jesus before with the other three had been given the authority to cast out demons when he sent them out to the towns. Remember that? And they went forth into towns preaching the kingdom of heaven is here and you need to repent. They were given the authority. They had already cast demons out. But this man brought his son that was a little different case and asked him to cast this demon out, and they could not cast it out. They were bewildered. The father was probably bewildered because he heard that they could, and the scribes might have been overjoyed. We found a way that you can't do it. Now, we're, you know, here comes Jesus, and what's going on? Where is your, we found a niche, we found a glitch. Your disciples cannot do this. The Bible tells us that the father brought this son that had obviously had this demon for a while. The Bible said the New King James and the King James translates it epilepsy. If you go back and look it up, it says moonstruck. It's more than just the epileptic the doctors will tell you today. It actually means moonstruck. It means lunatic in the Bible. He was acting in such a way that we know it's a demon. Why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ cast it out and calls it a demon. The word moonstruck comes from in history, and some of you can probably raise your hand because you may know of people, or at least you claim you do. When the moon changes, you're bound and determined. You know that they change, don't they? You say, the moon phase is changing. That's why so-and-so is acting this way. Susan, being in law enforcement for years, dealing with people, has sworn to me for years that when the moon changes, and says the deputies come back and tell them, when the moon changes, people change. I don't know. That's what they say. But that's what the inference is here. This child acting in a certain way, it had a demon. And that's the way they acted. Now, that's a whole different teaching for another day on this. But that's what it was. And when it says that he often threw him into the fire or threw him into the water, what did that indicate? Every scholar I've read says the same thing. It indicates that he was trying to commit suicide, what it was. So he often tried to do that. But if we're not careful going through this, we'll get off on this and we'll make that the subject of this teaching. And you can. There's been some wonderful sermons on it. That's not the subject of the teaching now. The subject of the teaching is Jesus coming down and the disciples not being able to cast this out. Jesus cast a demon out. And the last here, it says, it's very interesting. Verse 21 says, however, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. And a lot of people have put a lot of emphasis on that. Actually, they'll tell you that this scripture right here, verse 21, is not in some of the earliest manuscripts. Some people say it might have been added by a scribe. That's okay. It doesn't change anything in the scripture. As a matter of fact, it kind of points us in the way we need to go. Jesus came down, and through his authority, the disciples could not cast it out. And he cast the demon out of the boy. And then threw him, if you go to Mark and read in other Gospels, it threw him on the ground and made him foam at the mouth and different things before it finally came out of the young man. So Jesus cast it out. But the inference here is that the disciples could not. And Jesus said something kind of striking here, at least to me. These were his disciples. These had sat under his feet. These are the ones that he sent forth that had already cast out demons. And he said, why can you cast it out? They asked, whatever. He said, because of your unbelief. Unbelief? Unbelief in him? Are we disciples? Hold on a second. Is there unbelief? What's Jesus drawing attention to? Think about it humanly now. They had been doing all of these things. It's possible that they had become a little bit puffed up in themselves. The authority that we have. The authority that we've been doing. So let's think humanly a little more. All of a sudden, Jesus is here, and he takes what they might have already been thinking was the close three to Jesus. Okay? the inner circle, and he goes up on this mountain, and here they are left down there, and they might have been a little upset with that. Why didn't we get to go? Okay? How do we know that? Because we're going to study here pretty soon. They're still concerned about who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So we know ego is a little involved here. Okay? So Jesus comes down, and there's a little problem here. What is he teaching? I talked about it first. What's he teaching that they're going to have to be able to do to be the foundation of the church, to be able to follow him? What do we have to be able to do that also? I'm going to go back to it. Deny. He's trying to teach them, you have to be able to deny yourself if you're going to be a disciple of mine and be able to do what I asked you to do. Obviously, there was some denial that had to take place in his disciples here. They had to be humbled. There was some denial that had to go on so they could learn to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And all of them were still in that process. Peter was still in that process, even though he had seen Jesus on the Mount transfigured. We know because later on he's actually going to deny Christ when the pressure's put upon him. But Peter, thank the Lord, later on we will see and understand, will definitely learn to deny himself. When he learned to deny himself, that's when the power of the Holy Spirit was able to be used through Peter. You say, well, you're beating that horse to death. No, I'm not. It is what we have to learn to be a disciple. It is what the Lord keeps putting on me and telling me. And I'm not there yet. He keeps teaching me. Denial, denial, denial has to come first. Now, I'm going to reiterate this. It doesn't mean that you go and deny yourself certain physical things to make God accept you. That's not what it means at all. Martin Luther thought for a while before he found out, before we know that walking up that staircase and it dawned on him through the Holy Spirit about grace. Martin Luther used to, the stories, the history tells him, he would sleep on the cold stone floor because of his sins. His sin was so buried on him that he thought he might could pay some kind of penance to God for it, and he would punish himself a little bit. That's not the kind of denial Jesus is talking about. Jesus is talking about the kind of denial that means to deny yourself, that puts him first in your life always. The disciples couldn't cast a demon out because there was not enough self-denial in their life, and Jesus called it unbelief. In every aspect of our life, he has to come first. And you know what I'm finding out, and I think it's probably true for you? We're not too used to that in America. We may have, if we were honest, we may have to sit down and look up in the Jesus dictionary and say, Lord, please explain to me, because I want to do it, please explain to me exactly what that denial is, because we're not too used to doing it scripturally. But he says, you have to be able to do it to be my disciple. So I mentioned last Sunday, maybe the Sunday before that, some denial involves the things that we want to do ourselves that the Lord says, no, I got something else that needs to be done. And so we put our plans to the side and we go and we do what the Lord Jesus wants us to do. We're not used to doing that a lot. Some of it is to do without some things that we think we need, but he says, no, then you know this is not what you need in prayer. It's denying yourself that way. But the ultimate is what he said, to be able to take up your cross, you got to learn to deny yourself, which means what? Maybe, and some of our brothers and sisters in this world have had to do that, even at the expense of your own life. Now, that's serious. That's how serious denial is. And the disciples would have to learn to do that because most of them would have to give up their life for the Lord and Savior. So the teaching here, he's coming down the mountain. Yes, he's teaching the crowds. Yes, he's casting out the demon, but the teaching here is to his disciples still, and he's taking them on that road. You must be able to deny yourself and follow me. Then you can continue to cast out the demons. That demon would have left at the name of Jesus if the Lord wasn't teaching a lesson here. This was all planned out by God. It's all planned out, and the Lord Jesus Christ knew it, and he's using this as a teaching tool for them. How do we know that? Whether this was added by a scribe or whether this was in the scripture, however, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. What is prayer and fasting? Fasting's not really in our vocabulary much in the church nowadays, I don't think. Some of you might do it individually. But used to it was a very serious thing. So what's the purpose that God has us do prayer and fasting? The fasting does show a little bit of self-denial. Now, it's not the denial of food that gets you anywhere with God, but it's the point of it, that you would deny your body some food, and that shows your self-denial. That's teaching yourself. I'm denying myself of something a little bit for a while to what? To go to the Lord in prayer. That shows faith. So the teaching is denial of yourself and going to the Lord and trusting in Him. That's what it's pointing to here. This kind is only cast out by prayer and fasting. In other words, this kind is cast out when you learn to deny yourself and become a true disciple of mine, and you're continually in prayer. Then those things will happen in your life. It's a hard teaching. It's a teaching to harp on, but it's the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's hard to learn to do that in some cases. And we're not perfect at it. He knows that. The disciples would have to be taught more and more and more of that. But he said, because of your unbelief, for surely I say to you, if you have the faith of a mustard seed, you're going to say this mountain move, and it's going to be moved. A mustard seed's pretty small. Pretty small. But when you learn to deny yourself and be a true disciple of Christ, he's saying even that faith will suffice. Even that faith is enough. You don't have to prove yourself to God to have this tremendous faith. He takes that faith because he sees it in you, and that's enough to serve him. That's what they had to learn. But undoubtedly, even the disciples at this point had a problem. But he was going to bring them to that place where they could deny themselves and serve him. And that's where we need to get to the place where we learn. It takes practice. I'm learning it takes practice. The more you practice, the better you are at it. You don't just walk down the aisle and say and give your life to Christ and say, I'm going to be saved, and all of a sudden he just implants all these things upon us and we do them perfectly. No. Serving God takes practice, and he helps us along. The Holy Spirit helps us along. And the more you do it, the better you are at it. Do you know the more you're used to listening to the Holy Spirit, the more you listen to him and understand it quicker than you used to? But if you're not used to hearing the Holy Spirit in your life, you're probably not going to hear him much. He doesn't force himself on you or me. He is there for us. Deny yourself is being a disciple of the Lord, getting in his word, being often in prayer, learning to hear what the Holy Spirit is telling us, and then obeying what he wants us to do. As a church, that first church had learned that and was learning. Why? Because they had some disciples, the apostles, that now were to that place where they almost completely denied themselves. That's what they did. They served the Lord Jesus Christ. And now they were being taught that in the scripture. And the Old Testament was coming alive to them because they were pointing out the Lord Jesus Christ in it. And the first church was seeing that. And they were congregating together. How do you think they were able to bring their goods? Remember, the Bible taught that they would sell the goods and bring in for the good of the church at the time. And that was to start the church off. The Lord knew that was not going to be the church throughout the world. But that was to start the church off like that. But they sold their goods and brought them in to the church. That's a form of denying themselves. That's not what saved them, though. That's not why God loves them more, no. But that's a form of denial. That's a form of being a disciple. And you do it here at this church. When you give to other people and you help to other people and y'all cook and you take and whatever, that's a form of denying yourself and serving the Lord. And that's wonderful. You do that. But I'm just saying he wants us to keep doing that. He wants us to focus on that, to know that in this world it's easy to put him aside and put ourselves first. But when we put him first and put other things aside, that's exactly what he wants us to do in his life. That's the teaching here of the scripture. Yeah, I could have gone another way with it. There's other sermons in here, but this is the main focus of it. It's the disciples and denial. And it's going to be that, you're going to see that same thing all the way through from now on. When he said, from this time forward, Jesus set his mind to go for the cross, I'll say it again, that's the mantra. And if you don't like it, don't fuss at me. It's fuss with the Lord. Deny, take up, and follow. And that's been the problem with some people down through the ages. They wanted the salvation, but they don't want to deny, take up, and follow. And I haven't been perfect with it in my life either. But it's the truth, and I'm expounding to you the truth this morning. That's what I'm supposed to do. Everyone is different. Everyone has different things in our life. That's why through prayer, the Lord teaches us what that means in your life and how it applies to you in your life and for your family and for you. To expound on it and to learn it is what we have to do. So as we partake of the Lord's Supper this morning, if the deacons will come forward for that, please.